Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, your host Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the individual, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now, also here at www.managingchange2.com. Internet radio at its best.
And hello and welcome once again to Managing Change. I am your host, Ronald Allen. And every week we bring you an eclectic perspective on the topic of change. You all know that change starts with you, the individual, and then typically is created by social, cultural, and family. That's why we talk about the nucleus, the family nucleus, and certainly extends into the business world. And today's guest, Kathy Dewar, she is a purveyor of such resources for small, mid, middle market companies working with both government and corporate sector. Good. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. How are you, Ronald?
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Thank you very much. Kathy Dewar has been in the business some 30 years, so we're calling on her for both her experience, definitely the strategic positioning of businesses when working with corporations and the government, and also we're very proud to support her with a series of interviews leading up to her Alliance Mid-Atlantic Conference, which is scheduled for March the 31st, 2016. Which again shows that this is a lady that has longevity, has depth of knowledge in providing valuable resources and services, and most importantly, the old important catchword, networking opportunities to secure contracts. Kathy, can you just share with us so that our audience gets some background? Because there are a lot of people out here who say that they do these event planning, they do procurement symposiums, conferences. Can you give us a little bit of background on yourself, and then we'll dig deep into your capabilities and certainly touch on the March 31st event that's coming up.
Okay, well, as you said, I've been doing this with ShowWorks for well over 30 years. Started with public shows, food fairs, RV shows, boat shows, and then moved into the procurement arena when the PTAX first became, funded by the federal government, asked by my local Economic Development Council if I would try to put something together, because nobody really knew what a procurement fair was at that point. So
I have to interrupt you a little bit, Kathy. For those who are not familiar with the term PTAC, I am, because I've used them extensively. Just elaborate on that terminology a bit, please.
Okay, and please stop me when I use acronyms, because I guess I'm used to it. So PTAC is a Procurement Technical Assistance Center, and those centers are funded by the federal government to assist small businesses in government contracting, teaching them, guiding them, giving them information and that type of thing. And I'm not sure the date that began, but they're in full swing now. Excuse me, they're in full swing, and it is an excellent resource for businesses wanting to do business with the government.
Certainly. You came into, how did you identify, because this is also part of the opportunity you present companies in identifying their niche and the service, the government and corporate organizations that would need their services. So you identify the niche. Can you tell us how you came about realizing that this would be a great opportunity and your skill sets match it?
Well, I'm a small business, and I know what I was given the opportunity to do these conferences, but I realized that not everybody has the same information, the same capabilities. I just felt that it was important to pursue this and help small businesses match to these organizations. And basically, that's what we do. I pull in federal, state, local government agencies and large contractors, prime contractors, and match them, help the small businesses match themselves to these agencies and primes. And by the way, prime contractor, that's as often different than a corporation. Basically, when we call corporations, we're talking about DuPont and pharmaceutical companies and so forth. But a prime contractor is a large company like Lockheed or Raytheon that basically contracts with Department of Defense, for example, and is required by their own contract to use small businesses, subcontractors. So often working with as a subcontractor is much more important and much more valuable than just being saying, I want to work with Lockheed, period. We need to be working with their subs as well or their prime contractors, because Lockheed has their own prime contractors, and then we work below them as subcontractors. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Kathy. You pick up on the big tamale of our conversation, and that is the capacity for the small vendor, supplier, to be able to work with these primes, whether they're government, whether they're corporate, and or the main vendor that these government and corporations use. I went to a workshop with the SDDC, which is a Supplier Diversity Development Council for utility companies. And to your point, one of the major questions was, why should a major vendor who's looking for suppliers change up who they're working with when in many cases they've established relationships 5, 10, even 20 plus years? So your point, I want to dig deeper into this because I think companies need to understand that it's not just to say I can provide my service, but I'm going to ask you to develop, what are some of the capabilities? What are some of the financial prerequisites? I've seen in some of the RFPs and in the due diligence statements from these major corporations, they want you to have verbiage and a protocol in place that says you won't use child labor. You won't engage in foreign trade that misuses human capital. Let's kind of slowly dig into that, because companies, the smaller vendors, need to know that even their local banks, they need to have certain things in place. So let's start off with, let's say, the overall structure. You've got to have certain designations. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Well, first of all, Ronald, I think businesses need to understand that, number one, working with the government is not for everybody because it's not instantaneous. It's something that you have to work at, you have to network, and you don't come away from a conference and have a contract. So I think that's patience is probably the biggest piece, and diligence. Due diligence. So I think my mantra is that we have to take responsibility for our success. We can't give up too early. We can't go to a conference and then within 3 months say, well, this didn't work for me. You're right. It didn't, because you did not take the responsibility and follow through and do what you had to do. So I guess the first question is, are you even ready for this as a business? Are you ready to work with the government? Because it's different than selling your aprons to a gift shop. It is so very different, and government does require, I mean, we're working with government and public money, so there has to be some due diligence there. You have to prove that you're a valuable business and a viable business. So when you're working with the government, probably, again, you need to be, you can't start out and start your business and then expect to be in the marketplace immediately. They're going to expect some commercial experience, 2 to 3 years, show some experience, say, these are the companies that I have worked with, these are the agencies that I have been able to do business with, and explain that experience. So that's number one. Make sense?
Okay, so let's say government, you need to do your due diligence. You need to think long term, 3+ years, mm-hmm. and then you need to certainly have references. Now let's compare that. Let's just use that as a baseline. Can we now compare that to corporate work? Give us, the like 3 or 4 baseline items like you have for government.
Yeah, actually, it's the same. They're going to, if you're looking at large corporations, DuPont, Dell, all the pharmaceutical companies, they have requirements that they have to meet. It's a safety concern. Lockheed, for example, they're going to expect the same. They're going to expect commercial experience. You need to be in the marketplace. You can't just start your business. Often, the principals of the company can verify and use that experience, even if it is a new company. You can do that. But you need to be able to verify that within a couple of years of experience. That is basically experience. Don't expect to start out and get a contract immediately. And I would also suggest start small. Don't ask for the biggest. Go after something small. $25,000, $100,000. Go small and then show your experience. That's the way to start.
You fed beautifully into my next question, Kathy, and I do appreciate that. We've got a category called micro purchase and small business purchase. Can you elaborate on those two? And again, just give us some pointers, because I really want to develop this as we go through the series of interviews, so that the businesses begin to look at their business plan and what they've done, what hasn't worked, and then begin to put these pieces in place. So at the end, and by the time they come to your conference in March the 31st of this year, they're better prepared, more realistic, and as we talk about in change management, their perspective is set to optimize the opportunity of spending their time at your conference. So let's talk about micro purchase and small business purchase opportunities.
Okay, well, a micro purchase, a federal government, and I'm not sure about other agencies, but the federal government can purchase with a P card, a purchase card, credit card basically, up to, in some cases, $25,000 of product or service. So that's small, basically. And if you can get some experience that way, that would be considered a micro purchase. Just start small. Small business purchase, I'm not exactly sure what you mean there, but if you're saying a set aside, a small business set aside, often and mostly the government, when they introduce certain projects, they have certain set asides, whether they be for a small business or an 8A company, and we could talk about that later. Mostly it's 8A or small business or woman-owned business in some cases, or a veteran-owned businesses. So those are companies, those are purchases that need to be made from those types of companies. But as I said, the small business purchase or the micro purchase would be $25,000 and under. So we all have that opportunity. Even my company, as an event management, I can do small jobs, and I don't have to bid on them, basically. They can, or they have to show that there's no other they, meaning the government buyer, does not have, can say that this is a sole, there's one company that can provide this service, only one company. So, but with the smaller projects like that.
We're speaking with Kathy Dewar, the proprietor, owner, and female entrepreneur of ShowWorks. It is an event planning company that has increased its number of events from 2011, went from 7 to 2012, went to 9. And even today, it's increasing the number of events. I believe it's 16 annual events throughout the country, not just in the Mid-Atlantic or the Northeast Corridor. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you an eclectic perspective on the topic of change. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen. And every Tuesday and Thursday evenings, we bring you an eclectic perspective of community stakeholders, corporate executives, movers and shakers, entrepreneurs who are developing new opportunities, opening doors that perhaps before our perspectives just limited us. Today, we're speaking with Kathy Dewar. She is doing business with government and big business, showing us how to be prepared, how to have the capacity, and most important, her major event is for the Mid-Atlantic region coming up March the 31st. You need to put that in your calendar. Most importantly, though, I believe you should prepare for this event. Don't just walk in as if it's a regular conference and you're just going to voide yourself through the various vendors. You need to definitely have a strategy, identify who you're going after, understand what it is they purchase, corporations, major government agencies, and even the prime vendors that are supporting them have a process, have a methodology in which we can benefit from. Kathy, we've started out just kind of laying out the land of what government, corporations, how small vendors should prepare themselves. And you spoke a bit about the micro-purchasing and small business purchasing for those who are starting out. And I guess that's, let's talk about seasoning of businesses. Are we talking a company that's under 3 years is considered basically a startup in this arena?
I think that would be a good way to determine that, 2 to 3 years. However, if you have a company that just is starting out, but the principals of the company, the partners, have vast experience, that could be used to help a company gain a contract.
Okay. In your capability statement, you have managed to cultivate some very significant relationships. How should we as small vendors duplicate that effort? How can we duplicate that effort?
Well, you know, Ronald, I think we should talk about, again, you want to do business with the government, but are you really, really ready? Have you done your due diligence? Have you taken all the steps? Have you taken the responsibility? And besides the amount of experience, do you use, what does your website look like? Is it coming soon? Is that what it's going to say? Or is are you your email address? Is it AOL or even Gmail? Agencies and corporations look at quality, strong, good-looking companies. You can't have your website. If someone, in fact, I've been told that BAE Systems, for example, that particular small business liaison officer says, if I go to a website and I see under construction, they're off my list. I don't like AOL or Hotmail. I want a website. I want an email address that pulls right from my company, from that company. Those are just really, really small things that someone can take care of very easily. You need to be able to take credit cards. Sounds crazy, but it's very, very important because there are micro purchases and quick purchases that can be made through that credit card. Very important. Agencies and corporations are going to look at a capability statement, and that's they can be called capability statements, CAPE statements, line cards. It's basically a one-page brochure, and it really is should be 1 to 2 pages, no more than that, because there's just if you think about it, there are 650,000 companies on what we call SAM, the website that agencies go in and look for you and talk and can find out about your company. And we should talk about that later too. But so you have to make a very quick impression, and they're not going to look at that many companies. They want to look at somebody who is efficient and has the right information in a very succinct way. So your capability statement, and you know, that could be a whole other workshop on its own, you know, what it looks like, what you put in there. But basically your company description should not say, I offer the best value to all my customers. Really, so what? You need to say, I provide, in your case, Ronald, I provide training, and the word training is very important to have it up front. Make sure that they know within the first half sentence what you do or what your section is. So it sounds crazy, but we want to make it easy for these folks to look at us, and we don't make it hard. Make it very easy, and make it so that they can see exactly what you do right from the beginning. So those are, you know, just being ready when you come to these events or do any networking. Being ready is really, really important.
Kathy, you touched on the credit card. What about merchant accounts? Because that is, I can do it online. I can send a client. They can, if they come to my website and they like what they see, they can immediately engage in business.
Exactly.
I'm at this event on March the 31st and someone wants to purchase my goods and services, what devices do we have that the banks provided? I've done extensive research on the major banks, and they provide these kind of merchant accounts, which are mobile. Can you speak to that and tell us what your experience has been, both from your use and what you see the major vendors looking for?
Well, I don't really think it makes much difference which merchant you use, as long as you have I just made a purchase through QuickBooks, which I didn't even realize had that opportunity. But as long as you are able to accept credit card payments, or not payments, but credit card that you can, it is payments. That's really important. It doesn't, again, I don't think it matters which merchant. I happen to use the one through my bank, so it goes directly into there. PayPal is fine too, but just so you have one.
Absolutely. What about having proper accounting and legal processes? For example, you've got to have a separate bookkeeper. Even if you might do the bookkeeping through, as you just hinted, QuickBooks is one software. And then having a separate accountant, having a separate service provider so that they know you have accounting standard accounting protocol in place. Is that also a topic that comes up in concern?
It probably comes up later on in the process. Obviously, if you're a business, you've got to have all your ducks in a row. You've got to have access to an attorney and to an accountant and to other groups of people that can help you make your business better. I think that once an award is made, then the accounting becomes a little bit more difficult. I know that when you're working with Department of Defense, there is much more criteria that you have to follow. But those are for larger awards.
I came across, let me first of all go to the legal side of things. We know, and you mentioned the capability statement, you draft that up, you have that up, you put that on your, both Dun & Bradstreet, you put it on your own website, you can have it hard copy so you can hand it to someone and, of course, being able to email it. What are the legal areas, and I'll say this, I use the company Legal Shield because it's very efficient, and I do have a separate attorney just because that's how I think and work. but I have both, and they have reviewed my organizational statement. They've reviewed my operating agreement to make sure they're in line both in industry, in the profession, and any specifics based on the different states that I work in. Is that also those are areas that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, I think they're really important. To be honest, I don't know a great deal about that. I think that you need to be working with your the PTAX and with the Small Business Administration and Small Business Development Centers to find out how specific you need to be in that. I mean, it depends on how small you are and how large a business you are. So I honestly don't know a lot about that, Ronald.
No, that's fine. I'm pushing boundaries because, you know, you and I have been introduced by the Delaware State Chamber, and I have to thank Ken Evans for that. I also found out, by the way, Kathy, your event is on at least seven, notice I say seven, because I've been going to their website, seven major vendors that I'm looking to work with. You're on their calendar. Your event is on the calendar. So,
fantastic. Sorry? That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm talking DuPont. I'm talking Bank of America.
Excellent. That is excellent.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
it's
to get them there. I ask them, and I provide the wording, but I can't force them to do that. So I just hope, and that's really good news. I like that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. This is why we're having this conversation, and I've invested in the series of interviews. So, again, our other community, our small business community, can realize that they're not going to have to do this on their own. That you really can't do it on your own. You mentioned PTAC. I've worked with them for the better part of 2 years. I think I've literally worked with all four or five of their specialists around the state of New Jersey.
Fantastic.
So let's continue. So I'm going to
stop you for a minute. You know, basically, when you were saying that we have this information about the shows on these websites, that's because I network. I've been networking and forming alliances with these groups for years. It would not have been done the first year that we did this. That's why it's important to keep going, to be patient, and make sure that you keep that networking going. Otherwise, they wouldn't have that information up there if we didn't develop these relationships.
Let me ask you this. Is this the first time you're hearing that, or have anyone ever given you this feedback to say, you know, this is where you are in your relationship with these different entities? Has anyone given you that kind of feedback?
I have. No, no one has ever said you're on seven that you have seen. I occasionally run across them when I'm looking at their websites, but I've never known exactly how many actually follow through with that. So that's good news.
Absolutely. We talked about subcontracting. peer-to-peer, Port Authority, New York, New Jersey, very big on that because many vendors come to the table and they don't have the capacity, like you mentioned, to be able to serve it. And when we talk about subcontracting and working with these clients, even the smaller vendors can form relationships, agreements that say they'll put together their resources and then go after a contract. Can you talk to us about that opportunity, those types of opportunities, and what are some of the elements that we need to be aware of to be successful?
That is probably one of the most important elements of government contracting. We as a small business think, oh, we can do everything, and we can, of course, we can do that. But even larger businesses need smaller companies to fill in little niches that they are not as good at providing the service. So let's see, what was the agency that you were saying?
New York Port Authority. New York, New Jersey.
Even they, companies and that want to do business with them, they are smarter to form, I wouldn't necessarily say partnerships because that's more, or joint ventures, those are more legal entities that have more difficulties following through just the inner workings of that, but small alliances and working with, say, several companies that might be able to supply, might be able to, as a group, be able to service that agency, but also partnering with a prime contractor to provide that little niche that the prime contractor may not be able to handle. In my events, we emphasize the working with what we call, who you might call a competitor, working with competitors to find other projects. I mean, we offer opportunities to sit with, say, contracting companies, for construction companies, sit with other construction companies and talk to them about how this is what we do, this is how we work together. So we shouldn't be so afraid to work with our so-called competitors. We need to be working with them. Not everybody does the same thing perfectly.
Kathy Dua, she is providing us a gateway to corporate and government entities so that we as small middle market companies, providers of services, can begin to build relationships that will help us feed our families. Make no mistake about it. It's not a walk in the park type of environment. We've been discussing how you need to prepare and have a long-term strategy. You're listening to Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ronald Allen. We also invite you to go to our website, managingchange2.com. You'll also see a link to Kathy's event, which is coming up March the 31st. It is the Alliance Mid-Atlantic. It is the 16th annual event, not to be taken lightly. You're listening to Managing Change. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and today's guest, Kathy Dewar, she is the president of ShoWorks, a company that has been providing event planning and specific government contract opportunity conferences for the last 30-plus years. She herself, her company, has been working with government agencies in the past 15 years, federal markets, and then, of course, in the corporate environment. Two very distinct in arenas, and yet having very similar prerequisites in terms of entering. We're going to host a series of interviews with Kathy, because as her event comes up on March 31st in the Mid-Atlantic, actually it's been held at the Bally's Casino on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, so you can make a whole weekend of it. They're going to host a series of interviews talking about the many elements, and we've drafted out a plan of discussing are you ready for this environment, determining your market, being engaged, what it means, what you need to do, follow-up, which is absolutely crucial after the event. What are you doing to follow up? What are you doing to stay in the minds of your vendor, not just selling them on what you do, rather giving them perhaps some methodology, giving them some industry insights, maybe doing some research for that particular service that you provide so you can cultivate a meaningful relationship, a long-term relationship. So instead of always pushing, people are pulling you into their arena. Kathy, let's talk a bit, and we started off a little bit during the first half. Let's talk about the agencies that people have to register when you start up your business. And I know most companies have already in place some of these things, but let's kind of go from the beginning and work our way through in a methodical way so that companies, the audience knows what they should have in place. And if they don't, they need to get it in place.
Okay. Well, the main very first important one is what is called SAM, which is System for Award Management, SAM, basically SAM.gov. And at that point, if you are in there, that means that you would like to do business with the government. You have done business with the government, because that's how you get paid. You do not get paid unless you're in that system. And SAM provides... well, you put your capabilities, you indicate your NAICS codes, which is, I was going to look that up. I don't remember what that means. National, we are, North American Industrial Classification System.
Yep.
Basically, it indicates the type of business you have and what you are willing to do. And again, when you're looking at NAICS, you don't want to be able to do everything, you know, focus. But SAM basically is the place where you talk about your capabilities, who you're willing to work with, able to ask about certifications and so forth. For example, if you're certified in your state as a woman-owned business or a minority-owned or a disadvantaged business, that type of thing. So that's number one. You must be in there if you want to do business with the government. Now, when you're talking corporations, it's a little different. Some also use SAM, but they're going to ask you to register in their corporate systems. And that's a big complaint with small businesses, because every corporation has their own registration system. And I say, too bad. If you want to work with that company, you register in their system. You register over and over again if you have to. Takes time, you bet, but this is important. There are other...
Can I just interject there, Kathy? Initially, when you said, too bad, I said, well, it's very difficult. But then, since I've gone through that, I said, if I do one a day, and I've been doing one a day for the last 3 or 4 months, that's the difference. Even if you do one
every
other day.
Don't they ask basically the same types of questions?
They do, but some of their systems are quirky. Some of their processes are, you have to have all your a file of standard paperwork and documentation, and certainly have everything scanned into your system before you start. I'll definitely say that.
True.
And then you've got, right, and then you've got to say, okay, you know, this one wants you to first send an email to their manager, and then you get a response. Then you go into the system. Then you register. But I have to agree with you. It means that instead of just blasting out a bunch of invites, hey, look at me, I can do this, you really have to take your time and research the company, find out what they need, find out what they buy, and then craft your message a little differently on each one. So, yes, I have to agree with you. Yes,
okay, that's valuable.
That's the way it is.
And you don't have to register on every single one. I mean, if there are targets, maybe target, I don't know how many you've done, Ronald, but if you target, say, five companies, and sometimes maybe just going to an event and meeting that representative and finding out that, yes, maybe your company does have a viable service for them will save you a lot, and then go in and register because they're watching for you. That's important. Maybe you meet that person first before you actually do the registration. And so you're going to be at Alliance Mid-Atlantic. There are going to be folks that you want to talk to. Maybe you need to talk to them first and see if really they do purchase your product and service, and then go in and register. You never know. At any rate, if they tell you register in that system, do it. They're not doing that just for fun.
You make the right point. Let's find out what they purchase, and do you offer what they purchase?
Exactly.
You know, do you have the capacity to deliver at that level of purchase? Because many companies go out of business because they're providing 10,000 cookies a day. All of a sudden, they get a 50,000 order. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the credit. They don't have the finance. They don't have the space. They don't have the ability to raise, to go and get capital, or even enter into a lease or an agreement, like you mentioned before, and have a third party provide the extra cookies. So
that's right.
As they say, yeah, as they say, growth can trip you up.
Another website that if you're, you know, that's for corporations, okay? If you go to, if you are really interested in doing the government, another site that you need to be registered in is General Services Administration, GSA. To register for a schedule, they call it. And, again, it's not for everybody, but many agencies and many states, not just federal, but many states use the GSA schedule to find their sources for contracts. What that is, I mean, that is a process. It takes quite a while to do it. It's basically the same information that you're always looking for, which is financial information. You have a DUNS number, you have a CAGE code, and those are, again, acronyms. We should probably do a whole page of acronyms for everybody. Who knows? And those are, but the GSA schedule, I think, is extremely valuable for many companies. Not every company, but for many companies. So it's worth a look to see who is buying what kind of product, because basically the GSA schedule vets your company, indicating that, I mean, you have to provide a lot of information, so you have done a lot of the work with the GSA schedule to even be awarded that schedule number. So the federal and many state organizations look at that, and they said, okay, well, these have already they've done a lot of work for us, so we don't have to do as much research. It makes it easier for that entity to choose three companies to ask for information. So the GSA schedule is rather important for many types of companies, and it's very company specific. So you have to, again, you have to do your research.
The hour is flying by, Kathy. We're already quarter to the hour.
Oh my!
We're listening to Ronald Allen with his guest, Kathy Dewar. She is the principal president of ShowWorks. Her company is actually in Spokane, Washington, a state that I've always wanted to go to. It's got incredible mountainous ranges. Kathy, Spokane, Washington, what are you also known for?
Oh, we have great skiing and lots of lakes. We had Expo 1974 here. What else is Spokane for? I live here. I'm not sure what else.
Absolutely. Kathy has shared with us some of the details of how small businesses need to prepare, need to execute, need to do some homework in presenting themselves to the major vendors, both government and corporate. We're going to have a series of interviews for the next 2 months on this very topic, which is very broad, and we trust that you have your pad and pen, if not a couple of pens, writing down furiously much of the information that we're going to constantly feed you. And this is going to be placed on managingchange2.com website so that you'll be able to go there and listen to Kathy and get her expertise and then prepare for the event. This is an event that's been held at the Bally's Casino on the boardwalk, Atlantic City, sunny New Jersey, March the 31st. It is her 16th annual Alliance Mid-Atlantic event. Kathy, we're going to be right back. We have to take another little break, and we will continue our conversation. You're listening to Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, your host, Ronald Allen. Every Thursday and Friday evenings, we bring you an eclectic perspective of business owners, corporate executives, community stakeholders, all teaching and sharing with us their challenges, their perspectives, how they deal with change. As we know, change starts with you, the individual. If you wish to or not, that's a decision that we all have to make. We also know that we're impacted by social issues, family, culture, nationality. These are things that override much of our personality. Unless we're aware of it, we really can't move forward with meaningful purpose in life. We sometimes find ourselves held back at the most inconvenient of times. Business is, of course, the major service that we provide here on Managing Change. We talk about the immigrant perspective. Why? Because the immigrant themselves have already engaged the fact that they have to change. They have to move from what perhaps is comfortable to what is certainly an exploration, a discovery. Notice the words I use. Instead of always saying it's difficult, we say that we wish to engage and find and learn. We want to optimize the resources that we have. We have a joke in the office there. Manufacturing of cars made, what is it, 5 or 6 different names for cars that were exploration, navigation, discover, and pathfinder. Yet our conversation is still in an industrial bed of thought, and that is, you know, life is difficult. You know, blue day, Monday, hump day, Wednesday, thank God it's Friday. Well, today's world, with the movement of labor and resources, maybe Friday is your first day of work. Maybe what you're doing is exactly what you like to do, and the money is not important, not as important. So there are different perspectives, and that's what we're bringing you today with Kathy Dewar for the small, mid-middle market companies who are looking to do business with other entities, not just the big players, but as we spoke earlier, peer-to-peer, working and developing relationships so that you can secure that contract, developing a relationship with a prime vendor so that you can learn the nuances and put in place the necessary capabilities, the tools, the skill sets, so that you can have longevity. How about thinking, you know, as I say, the end in mind, a 100-year business, leaving a legacy, and not just trying to sell a widget. Kathy, thank you again. We're going to kind of wrap up today's program with your thoughts on the event that you're coming up with this year. It's the 16th annual event. I'm sure every year you have kind of a mission. You have a goal that you want to perhaps do something bigger. Maybe you want to be more involved. Maybe you, what aspect of this event this year comes to mind when you think of all the years that you've been doing these events and you've been so successful? What would you say is your mantra for this year?
Well, my mantra this year and every year is take responsibility for your success. I'm kind of a mother figure, and I keep reminding people that they are in charge of their change. They're in charge of their business. Take responsibility and don't make excuses. So that's my mantra.
Absolutely. And I did read it. I didn't put it up on our press release. That will go up as we go through. But I wanted you to voice it. I think that was more important than just writing it down. It is accountability, responsibility, because as we say in our home, if you say someone else is holding you back, then maybe they should take your house, take your car, take your life.
Yes.
You've given it away.
Yes.
Let's talk
Stop
a bit
using
about,
excuses.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the engagement. When businesses are introducing themselves, you said you have to have your ducks in a row. You said you have to be prepared. You have to do your homework. You have to do your due diligence. To coin your word. If you've done the research on the company, you've begun to understand what it is that they purchase, what it is that they do, what it is that they purchase to do their work. How can a small business separate themselves from the pack of other vendors who are also going after that same book of business?
Well, by engaging, by going to events, by meeting people. You may not meet the exact the buyer for your product or service, but you're going to meet somebody, if you keep going, meet someone that can point you in the right direction. So it's totally engagement, and I know we'll talk about that in another talk, and I'll emphasize the ways that can be done with meeting and so forth.
Yeah, so we're looking at multiple points of contact even within the one company.
Exactly. You're going to start with one contact, and if you make the right impression and have the right product and service that they're looking for, they'll point you in another direction. So it's just drilling down and finding that right contact.
And I do agree. I went to that utility conference last year, and the gentleman at PSE&G literally pulled out his calendar, his notebook, and gave me three other people that he felt I should begin to develop a relationship with. And that's what he said, develop a relationship, not just pitch.
Exactly.
Some companies are very small, like myself. I'm basically, me, myself, and I, as a consulting company, boutique style. And I position it because I don't have the overhead. Yet, because of my resources, certainly at my county library, I can do as much research as some of the big players and, of course, get on their feeder list to receive their reports. How important is the, as they say, TOMA, top of mind keeping in touch. How important is that, and what kind of material should a vendor be sending their prospects?
I have a small following of companies that go to all of my events around the country, and they keep going because they once they have seen talk to that person, they can go back, even though they've met them before, they can go back and just say, I'm still in business, and I still have this capability. I can do this for you. They'll do their follow-up. If they have a larger company, they'll send their salesperson out. But basically, they just keep going back and talking to them without being obnoxious, sending emails, send a note, a handwritten note, for example, saying it was great to meet you. Those are the kinds of things that when a contract comes up, they think of the people that they've seen the most. I know time is getting short here, but there's one example. I was talking with a contracting officer who was at an event and just talking, just at a reception, just talking to somebody, and it turns out they have the same kind of dog, believe it or not. And they, you know, talked about their business and their dog. But when a contract came up, his name came up, his company name came up. He said, oh, I know about that company. So that was one of the three. They're required to look at three companies. That was one of the three that he sent over some information to. You know, you just have to be not in their face, but you have to be talking to them and developing the relationship, and that's what it's all about, Ronald, for sure.
The intangibles becoming very tangible. You're absolutely right, Kathy. Let's just kind of talk a few little items. We don't have to cut off immediately at the hour. Fortunately, I have managed to create that relationship with my hosting company, U.S. Small Business Administration. Massive entity, lots of resources. The one area that I like about it is their online webinar and tutorials. They just give you 10, 15-minute snippets.
They have incredible resources online. It's excellent.
Yeah. Can you share with us other resources that you know of that we may not be familiar with that we can, you know, go and look at, even if it's on your site?
Well, General Services Administration, U.S. General Services Administration, GSA.gov, again, has many, many tools, website tools that you can use. And I think if you're just curious, those are the ones that you just need to kind of touch base with. The PTAX. I'm not sure what their on-site tools are, but their resources in every state, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, there are PTACs, and you just have to look up the offices. SBA has offices in all of those states. They are the folks that you need to be connecting with to find out information. I would just start with them and make friends, basically. Make friends, go to their workshops, find out who they are working with. The PTACs are specifically procurement, so that's a really good start. And almost all of these resources are free, so I think that's an excellent way to start and be ready. And they're all at our events as well. You can talk with them then as well. So there are a lot of resources. You don't have to do it on your own.
No, absolutely. And it's so nice for you to say, in a tough nose-to-nose, face-to-face, kneecap-to-kneecap kind of business, you talk about being friends. You talk about developing relationships, whether it's interest, animal husbandry. My wife and I, we save animals, and we've been doing it for decades. We unfortunately just have to put down another dog, a cane courser, a cookie. That's the human element. That's the aspect that separates those that just come in for the kill and those that perhaps will endure. We've been talking with Kathy Dewar. She is the president of ShowWorks. She is hosting her 16th annual Alliance Mid-Atlantic Conference for Small, Mid-Middle Market Suppliers. to government and corporations. And we've been talking today about some of the aspects of what you need to do before you even enter this arena. For someone who's been in the arena for almost two and a half, 3 years, I will definitely attest to that. And that's why I have aligned myself with her after seeing her capability statement and certainly being introduced by my good friends down at the Delaware State Chamber, where I am an active member. Kathy, we will continue our conversation. Is there any initial departing words as we move into our series of interviews with you that you'd like to share with our audience for today?
Well, please email me. My email address and phone number is on that, is on your site. The website shows the events, who's going to be there. We're very transparent in who's there. And we encourage you to, I encourage you to call me and send me questions. What do you want to hear in the next few weeks? What are your burning questions? Let's hear them.
How can they reach you, Kathy?
Well, my phone number is 509-838-8755. And my email address is cdoer, D-O-E-R-R, at showworksinc.com, showworksinc.com. And I believe that information is on your website.
Absolutely, it will be. And just one more time with your phone number, just so they hear it from you.
509-838-8755.
Kathy Dura, president of Showworks, bringing us a very broad opportunity of working with government and corporations. Kathy, thank you for your time, and we look forward to our next interview with you.
My pleasure.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio, with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit, life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on managingchange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat, enter their forum, or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change Internet Blog Talk Radio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.